Welcome to the world of Shabbos Reimagined. My name is Reuven Brand, and I am delighted to welcome you on this learning journey as we explore fascinating, inspiring, and incredible dimensions of the gift that is Shabbos. Let's get started. Smartwatches on Shabbos. It's actually a very complex and fascinating halachic question. At the outset, we should note that according to the majority of opinions, there are serious halachic concerns with wearing a smartwatch on Shabbos. And as Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon Shlita points out in an article that he published about smartwatches, even if there are technically no violations of a malacha, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, it's still, one could argue, a violation of the spirit of Shabbos, whether it's called an uvdin d'chol or other types of contours that we want to maintain for the observance of Shabbos, and therefore they should be avoided, says Rav Rimon. But the question of whether or not it is legally permitted to wear a smartwatch is really quite fascinating. It depends on many factors. The first factor is, what type of smartwatch is it? Is it the type of device that always keeps the time? And then in addition, there are other features that track the movements of the body or one's heart rate or other health factors? Or is it one that is only and exclusively focused on tracking your health situation? In the former, you could argue the reason you're wearing it is for a reasonable Shabbos purpose of keeping time. In addition, incidentally, other things are happening. In the former case, it's much more problematic because the sole purpose of wearing it is to track whether it's your sleep movements or your steps or something like that. The first question that you need to think about when examining a smartwatch is whether or not the mechanism itself, the electronic circuitry, violates an issur d'oraisa, a biblical violation, or an issur d'rabbanan. So this is a long-standing argument which appears in a lengthy monograph called Ma'ore Eish, where Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, discusses the various aspects of electricity already in the 1930s. There was one opinion that goes back to the 19th century of Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis and the Beis Yitzchak, who says that it's a rabbinic violation. There was an opinion in the early 20th century of the Chazon Ish, who says that it is a biblical violation. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't accept either of their formulations and goes more in the direction that it is rabbinic. But today, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, he thinks that it is a biblical violation, potentially of the violation of the malacha of Makkah B'Patish. So this is the first question we have to figure out. Is electricity in general biblical or rabbinic in its violation? That's number one. Number two, when you are wearing this type of device, it is, you could argue, something which is unintentional. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. And the Gemara presents a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon whether or not it is permissible to do one action which has an unintended consequence, which would be a malacha on a biblical level. At least that's the simple case in the Gemara. So, for example, walking on soft grass where you may or may not cause a furrow through digging your heel into the mud or into the earth. So that's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So maybe you could say that the electronic elements of the smartwatch, it's a davar she'eino miskaven. However, the Gemara says yes, but there's a limitation called a psik reisha. If you were to go out to the backyard and get a great toy for your child, what would be the ideal toy? The head of a chicken. So in the time of the Gemara, you would go outside and pull off the head of the chicken. Well, when you do that, the chicken dies. So that's called a psik reisha, cutting off the head. So psik reisha, cutting off the head. Even Rabbi Shimon, who allows the unintended consequences case, he allows the davar she'eino miskaven only when it's not a psik reisha. So in this context, you could say when walking around, carrying the watch and wearing it, that would constitute a psik reisha. It is automatically tracking your movements. So there are some, based on the Truma Sadeshin, who think that if something is only a rabbinic violation, then a psik reisha does not apply. But the majority opinion, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Magen Avraham and others, they think that a psik reisha will even apply to the case of an Issur D'Rabbanan. So even if you assume that the watch electronically is only a D'Rabbanan violation, it could still be a problem of a psik reisha. However, there is an extraordinary machlokas, an unbelievable machlokas that appears if you open the back of the classic Gemara edition, the Vilna edition, you'll find a comment of the Ran, Rabbi Nissim of Gironi. He quotes from a Rashba, Rav Shlomo ben Adera, these two great Spanish, great Torah luminaries and giants from the 14th and 15th century. In the back of the Gemara, in the 13th parak of Shabbos, the Rashba has a comment where he suggests that if a person walks into a room, imagine you lived in antiquity and your house was just one room, and you walked into the house, you closed the door. Well, It turns out, what if there was a deer sitting in your one room kitchen, in your one room? So when you close the door, all of a sudden that deer is trapped. That's a malacha of tzad. So the Rashba says, based on a comment from a Talmud Yerushalmi, the Rashba says, not only are you allowed to close the door with the intention of safeguarding your house that no robbers or burglars should enter, you want the privacy of closing your door, you're even allowed to also intend to trap the deer. The Ran says that's impossible. If you are closing the door, which is an act of trapping, and you are intending to trap the deer, that is, of course, an iser. That is absolutely a biblical violation. So if you take it over to our case, if the watch is constantly running, it's possible that if a person even has intention to benefit from the fact that the watch is tracking one's movement, so then too, we could say, maybe the Rashba would allow that. However, there are two important caveats here. Number one is, as Rav Ovadia points out in Yabia Omer in Chelek Dalet, he says that the majority of the Achronim do not accept the Rashba. That's number one. And number two, the Rashba has many challenges that the Achronim over the generations try to sift through. How can the Rashba be true? What about many cases of the Gemara that seem to contradict the Rashba? So the Rashba will give an answer that there is something limited about this case. There is a special unique circumstance in the case that you're dealing with where the door closing doesn't constitute a malacha. So different achronim, later authorities try to figure out what that is. And depending on how you apply that, it could be that even the Rashba himself would not allow it in this case. So for example, if you assume that it's only allowed in the case of trapping because where you close the door, it's not directly, actually, physically connected to where the animal is trapped. The animal trapped in the interior and you're closing the door at the opening of the house, well, that wouldn't apply to the watch. In addition, you have a suggestion that maybe it should apply because there's no malacha hanikeres. When you close the door, you don't see that any malacha is happening. Well, if that's the case, maybe you could carry it over to our case. However, as we pointed out, even the Rashba, even though that is an important opinion in the Rishonim, it's generally not accepted. So what if you tell me that, well, okay, it's going to be a psik resha, and therefore we should be machmir, but you could argue it's a psik resha din lo nichale. I don't want this to be happening. And there is a debate among the Rishonim when you have a davar sheni miskavin, unintended consequence, with a psik resha, with a guaranteed result, and it's lo nichale, it's not a biblical violation. It might even be permitted, you know, a priori. So there is an outstanding, amazing article on this topic by Rabbi Ike Sultan in the Layer House from several years ago, where he quotes from an oral ruling from Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita and Rabbi Mordechai Lebelig Shlita, and I saw this also in the name of Rav Yashiv, that because you wear the watch that has these trackers or the Fitbit so that you can track your health, that's called nichale, even though you're not going to look at it today. The fact that you want it to keep tracking you, that is something that you're interested in. So if we can't rely on this Rashba, is there any leniency? So says Rav Rimon, there is a suggestion by the Shevet HaLevi, it's in his Tshuvos from Rav Vosner in Chelek Tes and Simon Samach Tes and other places. He has a suggestion that even the Ran will agree that in a case where what you're doing does not appear to be a malacha at all, you're doing something that has no malacha quality to it. So the case he's talking about is walking in the street and a sensor detects your movement. So the chiddush of Rav Vosner is that since you're just walking down the street and that involves no malacha activity at all, not only will the Rashba say that's permitted, the Ran will say that's permitted even if you are aware that it's going to happen and you want it to happen, because your primary action is totally and completely non-malacha related. So says Rav Rimon, potentially you could argue that wearing the watch, if it shows the time all the time, that is a totally heter activity. And the fact that incidentally, it is tracking a person's movements. So according to this svara of Rav Vosner, the Shevet HaLevi, perhaps technically there is no malacha being violated by wearing the smartwatch. Nonetheless, in the spirit of Shabbos, Rav Rimon reminds us to let go of our technologies and just enjoy being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this special time. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to learning with you next week. For more amazing Torah opportunities, please check out our YU Torah Mitzion Kollel of Chicago's website, www.torahchicago.org.